morning. Now, hope showed up. Praise the Lord for that. We have a new wireless mic, big time here at Walker Bible Baptist Church. And a little tighter on the belt than the previous one. It's lighter, more aerodynamic, so we're good. Again, appreciate Mr. Bauman going to get that. Turn to the book of Philemon. Give you a few minutes to find that. All right. Are we good? Can you hear it? All right. I think we're good. Philemon. If you have a Schofield Bible, I think it's, I had it written down, but I don't remember. 1286 or something like that? Yep, 1286. We'll have our youth choir at the end of service tonight, and we'll sing there. We'll pray and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, as I pray as we look at the book of Philemon tonight, that Lord, you would encourage us by two main characters here, Lord, and help us to take on, again, both the attributes of both of them. Lord, I pray again that you'd help us to see ourselves in the passage. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of Philemon is only one chapter long, not even a long chapter, 25 verses. Kind of tucked away in between the five T's and Hebrews. And if you're not careful, you could skip right over it. It's kind of like the Walker of the New Testament. If you're not paying attention, you'll drive right by. And so here we have this interaction letter between Paul and Philemon. And as we look at this, we look at chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. So here we have some interesting or important characters. Paul, he mentions himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, not that Jesus Christ was holding him hostage, but a couple things. Number one, Paul had given his life completely over to the work of the Lord. So in a spiritual sense, Christ had every right to him. He owned him. But in the physical sense, Paul found himself in prison, writing letters for preaching the gospel. He was, these are part of that. So Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, twofold. Number one, completely consumed over the work of the Lord. Paul being almost owned by Christ himself, but also found himself in prison physically. What Paul is going to do here, he's going to ask Philemon kind of for a favor. Paul's going to ask Philemon to do something that he has seen exemplified already in Paul's life. If we go back to Acts chapter 9, hold your hand in Philemon. You've probably just found it. Acts chapter 9. No, you guys are good at sword drills. No. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to go or to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. If you're familiar with Acts chapter 9, Paul in Acts chapter 8 was seeking, even at the beginning of Acts chapter 9, was seeking Christians to, as the scripture later on describes, he was wreaking havoc in the church. He was rounding them up, imprisoning them. Why? Because they were in violation of what the law said. Well, he meets Christ in Acts chapter 9, blinds him. And Paul says, I would like to go with the disciples. And the disciples are saying, no, we're afraid of you. Why? Because up until this point, you have been a murderer. You've done nothing but wrong things to us. You've done us bad. Look at verse 27. But Barnabas. Oh, thank the Lord for Barnabas. Barnabas was an unsung hero of the New Testament. Barnabas, the encourager. But Barnabas took him. He gave him a chance. He gave Paul a chance. And that's what Philemon is all about. Paul asking Philemon to give Onesimus a chance. See, something happened in Acts chapter 9 that changed Paul's life. Christ. You know, sometimes we're a little skeptical of that. Can Christ really change it? Can Christ really change a life? Or are they just going to go back to it? Have they really been changed? Is there real difference? Well, I'm going to wait until you prove some things before I trust you. That's not what Barnabas did. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. It wasn't long that Paul's life has been changed, but Barnabas went to bat for him. Well, that's our story of Philemon. Paul is going to bat for somebody else. Onesimus. If we just step away from the passage real quick. Someone took a chance on you. Someone took a shot. Hey, you came to the Lord just like Paul, just like Onesimus did. You were a mess. You had no hope. No one cared about you. You had wrecked your life and your own doings. And here you sit today because someone took a chance. Not just Christ, but somebody. Somebody said, I believe Christ really did make a difference. The question is, did Paul believe truly that God can change a life? He's been talking about it, but did he really believe it? Philemon, he's going to call it out. Do you really believe that God can change someone's life? Church, do you believe that God can truly change someone's life? Well, if we did, well, there might be a response that is necessary. And that's what Paul is asking Philemon to do. He's asking, hey, would you consider Onesimus? We're going to see a great lesson taught here tonight. Go back to Philemon chapter 1. If you can find Philemon chapter 2, well, it's all chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborers, our fellow laborer. So it tells me that Philemon, somewhere, some place along the way, him and Paul connected, and they served the Lord together. Now, let's jump down to verse 4. Look at what he says about Philemon. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Telling me that Paul had a little prayer list, in which he kept track of certain people. And he says, Philemon is one of those characters, or people, that he mentions constantly to the Lord. And he thanks God for him. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Look at the description of Philemon. It says this. Paul says, I've heard of your love and faith, not just towards the Lord Jesus Christ, but toward all the saints. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Not only did he speak of his love and faith, but he spoke of what he did for Christ and for others. I know some Philemons. In my life, I've come across some Philemons, some people that truly believed what the Scripture said and took it to heart and then did it. I see a lot of those characters every single Sunday. Coming in here. The changed life of Christ. Verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Now, in verse 7, we're going to see that word in verse 7 and in verse 20, bowels. Now, normally, where we would use that is like the intestines of a person, right? Your bowels. Not going to get into, again, all the biology of that. But that's not necessarily in the intention of the verse here. It's the inner person. It's who you actually are. And he says this, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the inner heart of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Isn't that a blessing? Isn't it great coming in contact, Jacob, with those Christians that just encourage your heart? I have friends in the ministry that just conversations or whatever, they just encourage me. And I'm thankful for those people. And I'm thankful that God has allowed those people to come into my life. Philemon was that to many. To many. Man, what a great testimony Philemon had. Don't you think? Look at what it says about him. Let's review this. He has all love and faith towards the Lord and other saints. He's done good things. And he's an encouragement. Man. To which I stopped and said, all right. If I had four verses to be written about me, what would be said? Certainly doesn't play the cello well, Dara. What is your testimony? Philemon didn't have to say anything about himself. This is Paul talking about Philemon. This is what he's known as all around. Not what Philemon says about him, but what Paul says. What would be written about you? You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that a good name is rather than be chosen than great riches. So what's your name like? What are you known for? What do you want to be known for? I have a list in my head of things I would like to be known for. I know I have a lot of work to do to establish that. I would like to be known as kind and giving. I'd like to be known as forgiving. I talked about this in Sunday school, the hour today, about holiness. Faithful and loving. What's mentioned with your name? What are you working towards? What is it that you've established as a pattern in your life? Been talking a lot about this with our young people. Pattern of good works. How you do English will be how you work, will be how you maintain a family, will be how you serve the Lord. It's just a pattern. Substitute out the thing, but whatever it is that you do, how you mow lawns will be how you run a company. How you babysit will be how you parent. Have you established a pattern of good works? Philemon established a pattern of good works. He was loving towards God and others. The greatest of commandments. He did that. He did it well. He loved the Lord and he loved others. And he did those things. And he gave. What's said about you? What do you want said about you? What do you want as your testimony? And are you doing anything to support that? I want to be known that I love God. Well, do you love the Lord? I want it to be known that I love others. What do you do to show others? What do you do to show great joy? What do you do to be an encouragement to others? Well, that's kind of inconvenient. None of these things are convenient, but they're right. Philemon. First, we saw the author, Paul. Secondly, we see this adoration. Just kind words. It seems like something of the past. Kind words. I like... And our dear senior saints in that class, that Sunday school class in there, the ones that still write cursive and nice letters that use paper and pen. Man, they say some nice things. Seems like a generation ago, or I don't know if that's two generations. I don't know where the generation marks are. But it seems like in the past, the ability to write kind words has all but expired. Now we text them once in a while. And that's nice, that's good. As long as they're sincere. What are you saying about other people? This is how Paul is talking about Philemon. You think Paul got this letter and, or Philemon got this letter and blushed a little bit? Oh, Paul. Hey, Mrs. Philemon, come here, read this. Look what Paul said. You think he did? I don't know. He's just a goof. I don't know what he says. I don't know if he's buttering him up because he's got a big thing to ask of him. I don't think Paul's the butter up kind of guy. I think he calls it out like he sees it. And then in verse 8, Philemon chapter 1 and verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee, which is convenient. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He's like, I would like to be with you, but I'm kind of tied up, literally. But I can still write this letter, and he's going on the behalf of somebody else. And his name's listed in verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Now, we know that Onesimus, much like Timothy, is not actually Paul's physical son. But he did have an opportunity to encourage him in the things of the Lord. Whether he led him to the Lord or not, much like Timothy, got to groom him, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So if we can imagine the picture, here's Paul, locked up in prison, writing letters to churches. Some guy, some criminal sitting next to him. Hey, what's your name? My name's Paul. What you doing? Writing a letter. What's it say? Well, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And then starts reading Ephesians to him. Who knows? I don't know. Why are you in here? Well, I had a friend of mine, I worked for this guy. His name was Philemon. Philemon? I know Philemon. You do? Yes. They get talking, and somehow Paul has an opportunity to lead him to the Lord, Onesimus. Now, Onesimus used to work for Philemon and stole from him and then ran away. Imagine, Bud, if someone stole your car and ran away. You'd eventually have to get another car. But we don't forget those things. It's not like, hey, wait a second. You stole my car. That's the kind of thing. When he brings up Onesimus' name, he knows exactly what happened. And he says, hey, I'm coming on the behalf of Onesimus to you. In verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. It was not beneficial for Philemon to have Onesimus in his house. Why? Because he was a thief. But now profitable to thee and to me. He's sending him back with his letter. Can you imagine the knock at the door? Who is it? Onesimus. No, read this. Read this first. So he's reading this letter. He's like, hey, the man that's standing in front of you, he was unprofitable at first, but now is profitable to thee, whom I have sent again Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. Again, a word that we're not familiar with is kind of like, oh, that's kind of gross. But substitute how we would use the word heart. Mine own heart. Whom I would have retained with me. That in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Hey, it would have been good for him to stay here, but I'm sending him back to make right with you. But without thy mind, would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. He was good to do it. And I'm asking you to be willing to do something. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. He says, maybe he left to meet me, that he could then be a benefit for you forever. Know what that's called? Big picture. Seeing the whole thing for what it is. No, he's a thief. Yeah, but he met up with Paul while he was... Yes, he did take some things from you. I agree. And he found himself in prison. He might not have just stolen from you. He might have stolen from some other people. But he found himself in prison, locked up, maybe chained directly to Paul. And the Lord used that. And now he's sending him back saying he'll be profitable for you forever. I like that. Verse 16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant. Because that's how he left. He left as a servant. He returns as a brother. A brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Important verses, verses 17 to 20. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Paul's funny, isn't he? He says, hey, if this guy owes you anything, put it on my account. But I'm not going to bring up what you owe me. We won't talk about that. Even though he just talked about that. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Again, his heart. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Kind of setting him up. Maybe a little bit. He's like, I know you're going to do more than I even ask. Right? Philemon. So what do we see here? Well, verse 8 and 9. Thou therefore, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Can I say, he's asking him to do right. And doing right isn't always, as it says, convenient. Some of you would agree, doing right isn't always convenient. But it's always right. And here we're going to see this, these few points that we'll draw from this, 4 points, about the changed life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us in Christ we are a new person. A new person. Number one, the unprofitable becomes profitable. In verse 10 it says this, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. First, we see the revision. He's been revised, changed from unprofitable to profitable. You know, in Christ, the change that Christ makes in our life, we go from unprofitable to now profitable. But we're still the same person, which is amazing to me. Because before, what is Philemon's or Onesimus's problem? His sin and his debt. And Paul is asking on behalf of Onesimus to forgive the debt and the sin. I feel like that's what Christ does for us. He takes us sinners that are in debt and goes to the Father and says, "Will you forgive them? What? Here, charge it to my account," he says. "I'll pay for it." And that's exactly what he did. He paid for it. And all of a sudden we become profitable. We have a benefit through Christ. Point number one, the revision. Point number two, in verse 12, it says, "Whom I send again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly." What do we see here? He sent him back. Why? To make right. To reconcile things. First we saw a revision. Next we see reconciliation. The renewal of a friendship after a disagreement. That's tough. That's going to somebody, and you know what Onesimus has to say? "I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Sincerely and honestly." And he's going to have to prove to Philemon that his life really has been changed by Christ. But he's going to have to go reconcile things and make things right. It's terribly inconvenient when done wrong, but the renewal of the friendship after a disagreement, to be reconciled. Can I help you with something? Maybe there's a scenario or a circumstance in your life that needs to be reconciled between two people. You know the easiest way to do that? Today. Know what the hardest way to do that is? Tomorrow. The longer you wait, the harder it is to get it right. I'm telling you. When offended, hey, when your brother messes with you and causes trouble and all that kind of stuff, fix it as quick as you can. The longer you wait, the bigger that thing that you're going to have to, that door you're going to have to walk through to fix. Hey, when two friends are at odds, fix that thing right away. Call them up. Don't let a day go, day pass. Don't. Hey, when there's two members, she made fun of me, or he did this, or he did that, or he didn't like my cookies, or I don't know, whatever it is. I don't know. Whatever it is that people get offended over. Hey, go to them. Hey, I'm sorry, did I offend you? I'm sorry. That was not my intention. Well, it hurt my feelings. Well, what can I do to make it right? You could take me out for coffee. That would be good. That would be a start. And then you hug and it's over. But you let that thing go. No, my kids can't go over to their house. Why? I don't remember. I know I have a problem with that family. I don't remember what it is, but I just know, man, you're not fixing that thing. Hey, the ministry of reconciliation, as quick as you can. Number one, a changed life is a revised life. A changed life by Christ is quick to make reconciliation. Point number three, restoration. Replacing to a former state. You know when Christ restored us, He left us better than He found us. I actually walk away from meeting Christ with more than I came with. I bring my sin and I leave with a truckload of benefits. And I've been restored. I've been replaced. And fourthly, restitution. Look at chapter 1 and verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. Restitution, to repay. Returning to a person of which was unjustly deprived. He took it. So he has to make restitution. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it's told that the sin of Adam has been passed to all mankind. The sin of Adam has been credited to every single man. I was talking about this with someone the other day. And if someone is somehow able to not sin, never sin, Mrs. Jabisky, never. Do you know it's still not enough? We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That a perfect person is not as clean and as good as a saved person with the righteousness of Christ imposed upon them. So what happens? The sin of Adam gets passed to man. Man then takes the sin of him and passes it to somebody else. Credits it to somebody else. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, but was made... What does it say? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He hath made him to be sin for us. So the sin of Adam gets passed to man. The sin of man gets passed to Christ, who knew no sin. And in turn, then Christ gives us his righteousness, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is the law of imputation. The sin of Adam passed to man. Man then in turn credits or charges Christ with his sin, in turn gets charged with the righteousness of Christ. That's a good deal for us. It cost Christ terribly. But for us, we got in. That's what we see in Philemon. Hey, if he owes anything, charge it to my account, is what he said. And now he's free. He's no longer a servant, but what? A brother. Man, what a beautiful story Philemon is. Here we have this guy that did wrong willfully. That's me. Locked up in prison, a mess. Meets Paul. Gets saved. And goes from that to a brother in Christ. The book doesn't end there. Go back to Philemon. Just one last encouraging thought. So what did we see? We saw a revision, we saw a reconciliation, we saw restoration, and we saw restitution. Now, in verse 22, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. He's like, I plan on coming, save me a room. That's what he said, right? By your prayers I plan on being out of here soon. There salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. No, be with your spirit. Amen. Paul makes mention of these guys. In Colossians chapter 1, we see Epaphras. Know what he's known for? Being faithful. It's at, go to Colossians chapter 1.
in verse 7. Lest you think I'm making that. Colossians 1:7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a, what's it say? Faithful minister of Christ. Colossians 1:7. Epaphras, a faithful minister of Christ. What did he do well? I don't know, but he was faithful to it. Marcus. Marcus is found in Acts chapter 12, in verses 12. Look at Acts 12. Acts 12:25. When he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Right, there's Marcus. Where many were gathered together praying, verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. He was involved with Barnabas and Saul, another fellow servant. In Acts chapter 19, in verse 29. And the whole city was filled with confusion, having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions, and travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. Here, a fellow laborer with Paul, a companion in travel. Can I say, I've been going here since 1998, I think. That's 20 years. That's a long time. It's good to have some Epaphrases and Marcuses and Aristocrates. Thankfully, your names are a little bit easier to say. And Philemon. Fellow laborers. Do you notice that Paul never did anything alone? He served the Lord with others. And they had a great time doing it. How do you know? Because they talk about each other all the time. Hey, don't forget about this guy. Remember this guy? Hey, we met up here in Macedonia. Remember? He was with us. Remember all the stuff that happened with that? Whew, that was a crazy story. Serve the Lord together. We do a lot of things together. We had a great Christmas party last night. That was a lot of nice time. Seth brought shrimp. Seth and Kathy brought shrimp. Charlotte brought shrimp. That was nice. We had homemade pretzels with hot dogs in the middle. Great. More soda than you can shake a stick at, and a lot of other things. Hey, those are great times. But tell me about how you serve the Lord together. That's what's going to last. So find an Epaphras. Find a Marcus. Try and stay away from the Demases. But find a Lucas and the fellow laborers. And again, can I encourage you to have kind words? Paul talking well of these. Very rarely does he... In 2 Corinthians, I think it's around maybe chapter 9, Paul talks about the things that he did. Very rarely does he do that. He's always boasting on other people. Hey, you don't need to exalt yourself, but talk good about others. Man, what a blessing the Jabiskis are. And I genuinely really appreciate what they do with those strings and wood. I don't know how that... It just ministers to my heart. I appreciate, and we could go around the room, all the things that people do. Hey, let's make mention of those things. Let's encourage each other with those things. Appreciate our piano and organ team just coming in and handling things. Appreciate the nursery workers. Why? Go walk in the nursery. Plug your nose. I appreciate those people. Appreciate our Sunday school teachers.
week after week, studying lessons to teach our kids that don't always pay attention well. Man, thank you. It's good to serve the Lord together. I'm thankful for men like Philemon. It took Onesimus. I trust that he did it. From all that I read about him, how could he not? It took some guy that everybody gave up on and gave him a chance again. Hey, there's some young people that are here, not here, whatever, that someone needs to take a chance on. Well, in the past, forget the past. Let's talk about right now. We need some Philemons to see Onesimuses for who they are. Let's pray and then we'll have our youth choir. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word, and Lord, help us to have the heart of Philemon and have the character even of Onesimus to make good on things. Lord, I pray that you'd help the story of Philemon not soon leave our hearts and minds, and that you would help us to execute these things. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, we love our fellow church members here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bless youth choir now. Again, that you'd be honored and glorified. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, youth choir, come on up.